I felt like Alabama got, you know, they got some additional benefit from being Alabama. I feel like Ohio.
You predicted right. I mean, you said.
Yeah, I had Alabama in the four yesterday. Yeah. I felt like Ohio State kind of got the same thing. I don't know how to feel about that. I do get it. I think that from an objective perspective, when you look at the strength of schedule, you look at the quality wins, quality opponents, I do think it's harder to penalize a team for going on the road and losing a close game than it is, say, Notre Dame, who lost at home to Cincinnati. That's a huge loss. And so I do think you have to parse some of those things. But when you look at Oklahoma's schedule, it's really hard to defend them being in the top four, even though I said they probably would be yesterday. I don't have a problem with them not being in there. And the fact of the matter is that they take care of business. They get through the rest of the season unbeaten. It's going to be a completely different story. It'll be a completely different story after this weekend, or after next weekend for them, after the next game, than it was going into this set of rankings. But I don't think Oklahoma's got a lot to complain about. Yeah, you want to be in, but the fact that you're not is not the end of the world at this point, especially when you look at a couple of the teams that are ahead of them. Cincinnati is I don't know that they're going to play anybody, but Cincinnati is going to be a long shot to get into the four anyway. Alabama's got an opportunity, a couple opportunities to lose. The worst case scenario is Alabama wins all the way through. That gives Alabama and Georgia one loss. That means both of them are going in. Michigan State's got to play a couple of big games. Ohio State could still lose. So I think Oklahoma's fine where they are. I don't know why anybody would freak out too much about the initial rankings and the fact that they're not in the top four. But again, I think it's hard to look at any of these teams in this ranking and not feel good about where they are. If any of them, Cincinnati. But again, Cincinnati went on the road and beat Notre Dame this year. So they have a big quality win. They got a way better win than Oklahoma has on their schedule.
Oh, no question. A better win than most of those teams have. And like you said, the three Big Ten teams are going to play each other. And so, you know, if Michigan State goes through all that, you know, undefeated and wins a Big Ten title game, well, they're going to be in the playoffs. But if they don't, well, then, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, an Ohio State or a Michigan with one loss out of the Big Ten. So if Oklahoma, to me, Oklahoma controls their own destiny. If they go through undefeated, their final three games plus a Big 12 title game, I have a hard time believing that an undefeated Big 12 champion Oklahoma is not going to be there. So I don't care if Oklahoma's number eight, they still control their own destiny, right?
This last run of games is going to more than make up for the beginning of the season. Yeah. Frankly, I think if Oklahoma had performed better than they did against Tulane and Nebraska and even Texas.
West Virginia was the last play win. Yeah.
I think Oklahoma is, they not only do they control their own destiny from this point forward, I think they've controlled their own destiny from the beginning of the season. And I think it's hard to argue with people that are putting together polls and these people that are supposed to be, and again, this goes back to the conversation we were having about national broadcasters. Their job is to look at the facts and try and sort them out. And if you look at the facts of what Oklahoma's done so far this year, okay, they're better. They look better under Caleb Williams. They play better, but that's not what these guys are looking for. They're looking at how they performed in these games. They're looking at the margin of victory. They're looking at who they played, who they beat. And I think Oklahoma's ranked about where they should be. Michigan, I would feel a little bit differently about, but they did lose that game to Michigan State at the Spartans' home field. So, I can't quibble with that too much. It's just that I'm not crazy about the Big Ten in general. So it rubs me a little bit that both Michigan and Ohio State are as high as they are. But I know that that's personal preference and not the facts of the matter. So I look at the list and I say it's hard to really complain about any of them. If you're going to complain about one, it's so far back at number nine with Oregon that I'm not going to waste my breath arguing about whether Oregon ought to be at number nine or not. If they were ranked higher than that, maybe I would. But I look at the list and say it's fine. For what it is, it's fine.
Yeah, and I look at Michigan, and, you know, for most of that game, like you said, it was at Michigan State, and they led the game 30-14. They had a 16-point lead on the road. If you watch that game for three quarters, You had to be impressed with what Michigan was doing. Now, it all came apart in the fourth quarter for Michigan, so credit Michigan State for that. But Michigan, I mean, you look at their resume, while Oklahoma, we can't even come up with a good win. Michigan had a – they beat Wisconsin by three touchdowns at Wisconsin. That's pretty darn impressive, you know.
And so, Wisconsin – now, this is getting a little bit deep, but Wisconsin had had – who did they – they beat Iowa. They were the first team that beat Iowa, right? So they had a quality win before Michigan came in and beat them, so they were a better team. The thing that I'm looking at has Oklahoma's best victory of the season as Kansas State, which is probably legit. I mean, it's hard-pressed to look at any of the other games and say that it's better, and that's not a very impressive win if Kansas State is your best win on the year.
Yeah, K-State or maybe Texas. I mean, K-State does have a winning record, I guess, so you're right, Brad. They're 5-3. Texas is 4-4, so maybe K-State is OU's best win. But, no, you're right. I mean, they just don't have a great, great resume, so I don't really blame them for putting Michigan ahead of OU, but the committee says they don't look ahead, but they do know that OU is going to be playing Baylor and OSU, and also Iowa State in between those, and Iowa State's not in the top 25 right now, but that could help them, a win over Iowa State also.
Sure.
And then a Big 12 title game. I don't know if OU can do that. They're going to have to play a lot better to run through those four games undefeated, but I'm with you. Oklahoma has nothing to complain about. The only thing My only problem with this, I guess, Brad, was Oregon. And, yes, Oregon does have a great victory over Ohio State. I mean, one of the best wins of the whole college football season. But Oregon also has, of all the teams with one loss, that loss to Stanford, granted it was in overtime, but they lost to Stanford, you know? And so it's almost like the committee is giving them credit for the Ohio State victory, but it's like they're ignoring the loss to Stanford.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
And they play in the Pac-12. You know, people want to talk about the Big 12, and a lot of that conversation is legitimate. But the Pac-12, if you want to say about the Big 12, everything you say about the Big 12 is that plus some for the Pac-12. So the disrespect for the conference is legit, and I just don't, you know, again, I don't want to get to number 9 and number 10 and be quibbling about that. I think they're ranked too high, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. But Oklahoma, they control their own destiny. They're going to have to be better. The offense looks better. There's more of a spark under Caleb Williams than there was under Rattler. They look a lot better. They're going to have to play better on both sides of the ball to get through these next three games, really the next four if you include the Big 12 championship game. They're going to have to play a lot better, be a lot more consistent, and that defense, that secondary, is going to have to show up because they're going to run into a couple of teams that have the ability to light them up. I think that Bedlam game is really going to be a good game to watch because both teams have some deficiencies and they're on opposite sides of the ball. I think that that could wind up being a really good game, but Oklahoma can't complain about where they're ranked. They're right in a position to be able to get into the top four as long as they win and take care of business, and that's what they're going to do.
And also for Oregon, they're scheduled. They got a game at Utah coming up on November the 20th, so that's probably the biggest stumbling block left on their schedule. And then who would it be, Matt? I mean, would it be Oregon, UCLA in the conference title game? Could be, and they already have that victory over UCLA. 34-31, but they also, I mean, they struggled. They barely beat Cal, or Oregon did, and so anyway, they're sitting there at number four right now. Like we said, it's all going to sort itself out for the most part. The only thing is, if Alabama beats Georgia, Brad, well then, you know, that they're both going to be, assuming that they each have one loss at that point, they're both going to be in there, and so then it comes down to, you know, Big 12, Pac-12, and forget Cincinnati. Even if Cincinnati's not part of the discussion, you know, you got Big 12, Pac-12, and Big 10, and only two of those teams can go if Alabama would beat Georgia. And then you're going to have you know, maybe some controversy, quite a discussion, right? So,
yeah, and again, I was saying this yesterday. I want to see Cincinnati get a chance, but even though they're in prime position to do it, I think that once the season, once everything is washed out, and you see teams, you see whether Oklahoma's going to win out, you're going to see whether Alabama's going to stumble again or not. That's going to tell the tale with Michigan. The same way that Oklahoma's on the outside looking in right now, Cincinnati, you could argue, is on the inside looking out. And I don't know that I feel like at the end of the season that they're going to be in a position that, that the committee is going to give them the nod. I would love to see it. I want to see Cincinnati see, you know, put your money where your mouth is and let's see whether you can play against the big boys or not. It may be before they join the Big 12 if that happens. I can't remember. Did they finalize that? Is Cincinnati going to be one of the teams joining the Big 12?
Cincinnati,
so they Houston, will get their opportunity UCF. Then, or they will at least have a better opportunity then. But I think for right now, no matter where they're ranked, when the season comes down and we see where everybody washes out, I think that it's very unlikely that Cincinnati gets the chance to do it. I think this is the best chance they've had this year, but I don't know that I feel strongly that they're going to get in there.
Well, and then like Matt talked about earlier, Matt, you talked about the Andrea Adelson piece, you know, where she was just ripping the committee, Brad, and saying, you know, basically it's the snub to Cincinnati is unbearable and so forth. And basically she's saying for the group of five teams, first of all, they're telling them you got to get yourself a tough non-conference schedule. You got to make sure those games are on the road. You got to make sure everyone in your conference is good. You got to make sure now blow out everyone in your conference. I mean, they're just telling, she says they're telling the group of five that you can't come to our party. And I kind of agree with her. My question to you is, Brad, is this, would the group of five, would they be better off? Are they better off having a chance to go to the big dance and be a Cinderella or whatever? Or would they be better off to have their own playoff?
Maybe they would. I mean, here's the thing, though. Listening to what you just said, go out and get a better non-conference schedule. Who can put together? So they played and beat Notre Dame in Notre Dame this year. Who can get three Notre Dame quality, especially if you're as good as Cincinnati appears to be? How are they going to get three teams to agree to play them non-conference?
Well,
It doesn't make sense for them. And two, the teams that they're trying to schedule are not going to want to, they don't want to schedule Cincinnati. Oklahoma doesn't want to play Cincinnati if they're not in the conference. It ain't going to happen. So I think that they've done everything they could do this year, and I think they've put them. So that's what I was saying a minute ago. I think we're going to have a bunch of one-loss teams go into the playoff, and if Cincinnati's undefeated, they're going to have a better argument than they've had, but I don't think it's going to be enough to get them in there. I think that's evidenced by the fact that they put them at six in this initial ranking.
Yeah. And, you know, she does point out, she says, was it not less than 1 year ago, Cincinnati nearly upset Georgia in the Peach Bowl.
Right.
It was 24-21. You know, Cincinnati got beat, but they played Georgia, you know, right down to the wire in that game. So it's like you said, they scheduled Notre Dame. They beat them on the road. It's a shame for them, but I think they're going to have a lot of things fall their way to get in.
That's the unfortunate thing, and the more we hear, the less likely that it happens sooner rather than later, the expansion of the field. But the only way they're going to get a chance to get in and be a Cinderella is for the field to expand. Now, they're going to join the Big 12. That's going to give them a chance. We're going to see what the Big 12 looks like when they get in there and how much respect they actually get. But they're going to have a better chance there than they do where they are. Your question about do they have their own playoff is not a bad idea, but I don't know how you do that, because in order to do that, you would almost have to exclude yourself from the traditional bowl schedule. Because I don't think the traditional bowls, not the major bowls, are not going to want that group of five playoff to be their bowl game. And so how do you put that together? How do you make it in a way that monetarily is going to make sense, that is going to be a big enough deal for the schools that it makes sense? And at the end of the day, so you win the championship of the group of five, what does that mean? If you don't win the championship and have a shot to go into the playoff at the end of it, it's kind of like winning the NAIA or the NIT, that's what I'm thinking of. It's kind of like winning the NIT. Okay, you might get a trophy, but who really wants to put that up in the trophy case?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I think that the five major conferences, right now they control the money in football, but they don't control the money in basketball. I'm just saying, if they break away from the NCAA, which I do think is a real possibility in the coming years, that these five conferences – you know, they said, okay, we control the money in football. We want, well, there's no reason for us to give that NCAA tournament basketball money to the NCAA, mm-hmm. and that's what the NCAA runs on, is that basically the money from the basketball tournament. If they did pull away, well, then I think at that point we might see a group of five, you know, have their own football playoff.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.